right. Hello, Paul. I'm going to try and answer your questions on tape because I haven't got time at the moment to do a straightforward face-to-face interview. So I hope this will be of some use to you at any rate. Your first question, how do you see the development of your work from early period through Sword and Sorcery, Essential Channel, Piet novels, non-fiction and present work? It's a bit of a big one, really. In a way, I mean, although my techniques developed, my interests have remained fairly much the same. The first novel I ever wrote was in fact a social novel called The Hungry Dreamers, set in Soho. And thankfully lost. I think there's a little bit of it appeared in a fanzine in the early 60s. And I was writing all different kinds of fiction from a very early age, just as I was reading all different kinds of fiction. I mean, I was never particularly obsessed with one kind of fiction. I read social novels, plays, classics, Frank Richards Boyce stories, P.G. Wodehouse, a vast amount of popular thrillers and the like, from E.F. Benson, for instance, the David Blaise books and the Map of Lucia books and so on. I read a lot of comedy, and although Edgar Rice Burroughs and Sword and Sorcery and Fantasy were a great enthusiasm, they didn't make up more than a relatively small percentage of what I read. I still haven't read a great deal of the so-called classic SF stories. I find most of it unreadable, as a matter of fact. I find most SF unreadable, and I find most Sword and Sorcery unreadable, just as I find most detective stories unreadable. As I've said elsewhere, I'm inclined to enjoy individual authors who work in a particular genre, not the genre itself. So, in a sense, the development of my work, I've used fantasy and science fiction to experiment a little bit, to practice, if you like, before doing something slightly more ambitious, like the Jerry Cornelius books. The Colonel Piatt novels are a sort of extension of the Cornelius books. What non-fiction I've done has been largely at the request of editors or publishers, and I mean, I don't regard myself as a very good non-fiction writer, and sorry, I was wondering vaguely what that was in the background. I can hear more on this tape recording than I can in real life. Present work, I mean, Mother London is a social novel, essentially, although it employs techniques that I developed in the Cornelius books. And there are obvious sort of echoes of the Cornelius books in Mother London, I think. So you asked me how I see the development of my work, and I can only say that I don't really see it developing in any linear way. It's just that as I've grown more technically skilled, I've been able to tackle certain ideas that I've had for a long time. It's hard to talk about New Worlds because it was a sort of a nightmare. It went on for years. The magazine was constantly beleaguered. I spent most of my time trying to keep it alive, just, you know, physically, fiscally alive. I believed in it, obviously, and I think that what we were doing was interesting. It was a period of considerable innovation, which began with people like Ballard and myself in the late 50s, although it didn't really find any expression until the early 60s. I don't think there's been a period like it since. What I see of new work, much of which I'd like, it seems to me not to have quite that same willingness to jump in with both feet or run it up the flagpole and see what comes down, you know, whatever you call it, that we had in those days. There's a much more optimistic sense that if we tried something out, you know, it was worth going all the way. Nowadays, it's stuff like cyberpunk. It seems that particular movement, for instance, is consolidating various other popular forms and producing a sort of an amalgam of the hard-boiled detective story and the near future science fiction story and so on, the sort of thing that Philip K. Dick does so well. And I think we encourage people to go as far as they possibly could. We were willing to back them in that way. And I'm not sure there is much that's willing to do that at the moment these days. And that comes to your third question, how do I see the general direction of SF today? I don't know whether it's changed for the better or worse. I like a little bit of what I read. but I don't read very much, so I'm not really the best person to ask on you know, what it's like today. I like some of the so-called cyberpunk writers. Again, I don't see their work as being hugely innovative. Again, only in terms of genre. I think that what we were trying to do in New Worlds was just break out of genre. Rather than mixing genres together, we were actually trying to create new conventions. And I think the whole of the late 70s and 80s has been a period of consolidation, nostalgia, looking backward, which you see pretty much in all forms of creative stuff at the moment. I don't think much SF was ever very good, and I don't think much SF is very good nowadays, but what is good is as good as it ever was. I'm totally opposed to censorship, which seems to be at odds in some people's minds with my total opposition to pornography. I believe that many kinds of pornography are used as propaganda in maintaining the status quo as it exists now between men and women. I believe that men are essentially a power elite, who control and define the lives of women. And as a believer in women's rights and the eventual triumph of the women's movement, I can only continue to work against that. And what I do is to try to find means of fighting pornography without censorship, to make people, particularly men, aware of what pornography, as we commonly understand the word, does to maintain that very unfair situation. It doesn't stop me fighting against it. You've seen publications like which I do politically. I'm against it and have written against it and have worked against it. It doesn't stop me going for a Freedom of Information Act, which I'd be very glad to see go through. Most of my life I've been involved with attempts to improve the situation of writers, and part of that improvement in my view is to try to abolish censorship, particularly literary censorship, but I mean any kind of political censorship, but any kind of censorship really. I think that we're going through a period in the world in general that we could call reactionary. I think we're in danger of an increased amount of censorship, and I'm currently trying to fight that. Along with a lot of other people who, for one reason or another, have apparently been identified with as pro-censorship people, who are simply not pro-censorship and are as profoundly against censorship as I am, and that includes people like Andrea Dworkin and Catherine McKinnon. There's a lot of nonsense currently being talked about that, which I won't bore you with any further. I began political life as an anarchist. In those days, I suppose it was a much more naive belief. I then went through a period of trying to express myself politically through more conventional political parties. I eventually realised that they're all so damn corrupt that I might just as well be an idealistic anarchist and a humanist and maintain my own political position by that means. That also fits in better with my support for the feminist movement. I believe that the women's movement is the most important political movement of this century, possibly of the millennium, I don't know. But I'm very serious in that, in my support for the women's movement. I think that the kind of political writing you find in the women's movement has a very serious bearing on all our lives, particularly to do with how power is used, maintained, and of course abused. So for me, the feminist movement is absolutely central to improving society. You asked me what I'm doing now. At the moment, I'm trying to catch up on a vast backlog of correspondence, and I'm feeling knackered. You say I have a book published recently. That's usually true of me, that I've had a book published recently. Sometimes more than one. The book that's coming out in June is Mother London, which I think is probably going to be I think in many ways it's the closest. Most personal book I've ever written. It deals most with what I feel about. It deals best, I think, in many ways with what I feel about. It's much more of a social novel than anything I've written recently, with the exception possibly of the Piat books. It's set in the real world. In a real London. It's a fairly complex book. It's a non-linear book. I had to come up with a rather more complicated form than I used in the Cornelius books, but it's still a form that's rather similar to the Cornelius books. And the reason for doing that is that one is anxious to avoid cliché, conventional interpretation of the subject matter, the work that one's doing. And so one looks for form which will, with luck, avoid that, or help people to avoid it. Whether it will or not, I don't know. In the summer I'm planning to write an Elric novel, which I began last year, which will be a sort of summer holiday for me, I suppose. I'm also hoping to write a book about living in Morocco, but I haven't yet found a publisher who's willing to commission the book so that I'll be able to afford to live in Morocco for the length of time it'll take. I've got a collection of short stories that I'm working on at the moment, which will also include some non-fiction, mainly political non-fiction. What else am I doing? I'm not doing any music at the moment. Although there's a chance that some of the music that Pete Pabli and I did for Gloriana and the Entropy Tango will actually be appearing in the next few months, since there's a independent record producer who's asked if he could put some of it out. Currently, Pete Pavley, I think, is going through all our tapes trying to find stuff that is remotely usable, and discovering that a lot of it is not remotely usable. I think that's it as far as forthcoming work is concerned. I've already sent you a little leaflet thing, although I sent it to St. Ives, And if you don't get it, then let me know and I'll send you another one. What I'll do is I think I'll end this here and send it to you. And if there's any more that you want to know, if you want me to expand on anything, just send me another list of questions with the tape back, and I'll add on to the tape until we've got everything you need. I'm just having a quick look at your letter. Just to make sure I haven't missed anything. I don't think I have at the moment. So I'll sign off now, send you this tape, and as I say, if there's anything more you need to know, just return the tape and another list of questions, and I'll do my best to answer as quickly as possible. Thanks. Cheerio for now.